Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Great. Hey, give three people a high five. Then you can take a seat. We've already done high fives today. We'll have some more. Oh, high fives the better. That's what I say. Great. Awesome. Well, it's good to be in church. It's good to be the church today. Isn't it? And great. Thank you for coming. If you just come for the dedication day and it's the first time in church, your first time in a church like this, then hello. Good times. We did have our fabulous conference yesterday. Last ever fabulous conference. You might not have realized that. That was the last one, because next year we're changing Whitefields with Phil Pringle, and it's going to be brilliant. But it was great to have the whole church family together. We are one church in 10 locations now. 10, count them, 10. And we just started Sunday, every Sunday in London and in Sunderland as well. We got a congregation in Accra in Ghana, which is going great guns. A congregation over in Frankfurt in Germany, which just folks have gone and just gone on an adventure with God. I want my life to be more of an adventure. You know, I think there's more adventure for you in the days ahead than there've been in the days gone by. But we had our leadership conference. It wasn't leadership. It was our family conference, and it was an awesome time. And we had a couple of guest speakers, but we also had a guest worship leader there, a guy called Mark Stevens. I don't know if you've heard of Mark Stevens, but he used to be in Neighbours. Neighbours. Nobody watches Neighbours anymore. I know. It's on Channel 5, right? A few years ago, I went to Channel 5. But when I was like a teenager, when I was like 14, 15, 16 years old, Neighbours was one of the top TV programs on the BBC. Do you remember those days? Does anybody actually remember those days? Oh, well, good. I remember them. And there was a character on while I was doing my GCSEs. Okay, and there was a character came into Neighbours, and I remember him coming in. He was called Nick Page. Nick Page, right? And I remember him because he had the same name as my best friend at school. My best friend at school was called Nick Page. And this character came on called Nick Page. And Nick Page was Mark Stevens. And I remember him coming on the program and going, oh, yeah, Nick Page, there you go. And Nick Page was a character on Neighbours for 2 years, right? And then he came over to the UK to start, like, a music career because Neighbours was massive over here. And he had a couple of minor hits. I remember even listening to him on Radio 1 being interviewed and I thinking, oh, his music's all right, you know? And then he kind of disappeared. And I remember thinking, I wonder what happened to Nick Page. What happened to Nick Page? Well, I'll tell you what happened to Nick Page. He got caught up in the world that is on the just under the surface of the music industry that we see on our TVs and our iPhones and on our, you know, on our downloads. And by the time he was 25, he'd become a heroin addict. Nick Page. Heroin addict. But Nick Page's a heroin addict. What happened to him? Well, this week he was at Fabulous as a worship leader. That's what happened to Nick Page. I'm like, oh my goodness. He said by the time he was 25, he was a drug addict, a heroin addict, a life a complete mess. When a girl who was a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, came into his life, they kind of had some kind of relationship. It kind of started and finished. And then in her house or in her flat or wherever it was, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You think, well, what does that mean? Well, he handed over his life to Jesus. Said, okay, I'm going to take a chance on Jesus Christ. I'm going to decide, okay, if you're real, I want to know you. I need you. Come on, God. If you're real, make yourself real. And he became a Christian. And his testimony, his story is that he was set free from the heroin addiction overnight. His life was changed overnight. And I'm just thinking, that's an incredible story. you know. And now here he is, here he was at Fabulous leading worship. He's become a worship leader in one of the largest churches in the United Kingdom, a church of thousands of people. And God's turned his life around. And he's writing songs about God and about Jesus and ministering into people's lives. Not now just singing songs to get some money, but actually singing songs to help set people free from the stuff in their life. Yes, you can now clap. That's good. It's a good story. It's a good story. And I'm like, God, that is so brilliant. That Mark Stevens, Nick Page, that he didn't go to rehab. I'm probably someone tried to make him go to rehab, but he said no, no, no. I don't need it. Because Jesus Christ became real in his life. He didn't need years of counseling. He just needed an encounter with a God who is real, who is interested, who cares, who gave his life for you so that you could have a transformed life. I want to see more of that. I want to see more of the supernatural. Don't know what you think when you hear the word supernatural. Just had Halloween. You think ghouls and goblins. You think Twilight. You think vampires. You think ghosts and ghouls and goblins. When I think of the supernatural, I think of a God who takes us beyond what is natural, beyond what is normal, beyond what we think we could do, beyond what where we think we could change, and come in and does something absolutely incredible that turns lives around. You know, who sets drug addicts free overnight, who heals the sick, a God who raises the dead. You don't see that very often. But I want to believe in a God who's got the power, you know, not just to do spectacular things, right? Let's get a load of sick people up here and, you know, and do healings, but actually can deal with the stuff of a broken heart. You know, the stuff of a broken inside. No matter how many people in this room are sick, I bet there's a bunch of us who somewhere on the inside feel broken, feel lost, feel like hopeless, feel like, I don't know, I'll never be able to change. People who've got some good stuff going on, but in the background of our lives, there's stuff we're like, well, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to mention it. I hope nobody finds out. I hope this guy up the front isn't so supernatural that he starts going, now there's somebody here today, you know? Going to do that. Oh. But we're going to look at a little bit of the Bible the next, I don't know, little bit of time, okay, until the time is up. I'll see how far we get, okay, and I just want you to know that there's a supernatural God. That you might have been struggling for years. You've been fighting for years with some stuff, and just a moment with God can turn things around. And to help us focus on that, we're going to look in John's gospel, okay? We're going to get into the Bible, right? Welcome to church. We believe in the Bible. This is good. So if you've got a Bible with you, that's brilliant. You can turn to John chapter 11. If you have no Bible, that's okay. We've got a big Bible. It comes up there. Oh, look, there it is. Bit of Bible. Well done. And I'm going to read some of the scriptures, and it would actually be good if you pass me my Bible out of the open bag with the light upon it glowing. That's quite a handy spotlight just there. Phew, praise the Lord. And I thought I'd actually read out of a paper Bible. Do you remember paper Bibles? Before iPhones, before iPads, we had paper Bibles. And I'm going old school for the next couple of minutes. And I'll just read you some of the verses. I don't know if the guys at the back will keep up with this because it's not everything that I gave to you. But John chapter 11. How many of you heard of the story of Lazarus? I don't know if you have or haven't. Lazarus died. Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends, and Lazarus died. And here's the story, a little bit of it. In John chapter 11, here we go. A man named Lazarus was sick. It's a good setup, isn't it? It's the opening of the story. A man named Lazarus was sick. I wonder what the opening line of your story is. What's the setting the scene for where you need God to move in your life? What is it? A man called Charlie just lost his job. Is there anybody here called Charlie today? So Charles? Charlton. Charlie? Keep working on it. I don't know. A man called Reggie. You know, a plumber called Reggie had just lost his job. I don't know. What's the opening of your story? A lady called Maggie had just been told she was really, really sick. What's the opening of your story? You know, what's the opening line? But the opening line here is a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. I bet they loved that, didn't they? Oh, I get a job, Lazarus. Anyway, and the brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Have you ever tried to twist Jesus' arm? You know, Jesus, your dear friend is sick. Could you step in? Because your dear friend, you know, God, could you step in? And Jesus heard about it and he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Hooray! That is good news. No, this has happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Thank you, Jesus, for your quick response to our prayer. What? Finally, he says to disciples, let's go back to Judea. And some other things happen. And then in verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I'll go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll soon get better. Why are we going? They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. What? Jesus, do you imagine this day, right? We read it like, yes, Lazarus did the thing, and then Jesus went and raised him from the dead. Imagine if you were there. He's dead. I'm glad I wasn't there. Like, what? You mean you're glad you weren't there for the miracle? You're glad? You're glad? You're glad he's dead, are you, Jesus? Well, I'm not loving this. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you'll really believe. Come on, let's go and see him. Let's go and see the dead guy. Okay, sounds cool. So Mary comes out and meets Jesus on the way, and Martha comes out and meets him. Sorry, in verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Well, yeah, Martha said, he'll rise again when everyone else rises at the last day, at the end of time and the resurrection. Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Jesus, what are you talking about? Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. And Mary comes out as well. Mary comes out later as well and says, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died, in verse 32. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They said, come, Lord, and see. And Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Come on. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be awful. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you'd see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. I'm saying it out loud for the sake of all the people standing here so that they'll believe you sent me. And Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes and his face wrapped in headcloth. What a moment. Jesus told them, unwrap him. Let him go. Imagine Lazarus coming out. Imagine you were dead and then you wake up and you're covered in grave clothes. You're kind of wrapped up in your face and you're like, okay, and you're hobbling out. What a moment. What a moment. The supernatural act of God. I love that. Something crazy. When Jesus heard about his friend's sickness, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Now it happened for the glory of God, so the Son of God will receive glory from this. What do you say? What do you say when you get bad news? What do you say about your situation? What do you say about what you're facing? What do you say? It's an interesting question. Sometimes we jump to the worst case scenario. I remember me and Lisa, we weren't even married at the time. And Lisa was working. I know I was expecting her to come and visit me at my mom's house. She was coming after work to visit me, right? And she was slightly late. And I don't know if you're like this. She was slightly late. I was like, five minutes, that's not too bad. There was no mobile phones in this time. No mobile phones. I don't know if you remember, no mobile phones. But when me and Lisa were going out, we had no mobile phones. So there was no texting. Hey, where are you? How are you doing? So when Lisa was like 10, 15, 20 minutes, 20 minutes into it, I'm staring out of my bedroom window thinking, where is she? Maybe she's dead. Worst case scenario. I don't know if you like that. What do you think when you get bad news? You know, you maybe when you get slightly ill, maybe you're someone who goes on Google all the time to check the symptoms. Oh, I've got a little bit of that. Oh, it's a bit of a thing there. A bit skin's a bit funny. Oh, cancer. You go through the list. Cancer's on it. Oh, I've got a bit of a pain in the. This could be that, could be that, could be this, could be cancer. It's cancer. Darn it. You know, you jump to the conclusion that it's going to be the worst case scenario. But the question we've got to ask is, what does Jesus say about the news? What does Jesus say about the situation? Because I can pretty much guarantee that he's going to say something different to what we say a lot of time. What does Jesus say? Does Jesus say, oh, it's the devil? Right? I know a lot of Christians that every time something goes wrong or something's going on in their life, it's like, I'm under attack. I'm under attack. Like the devil's coming at you. Like, ha ha, here I come. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to ruin your day. I'm going to take you out. You know, what do you say? Do you say, I must have sinned. I must have got it wrong somewhere. Something. I must have done something. Maybe if you're not even a Christian, you kind of think, oh, no, this must be payback. I did something bad there. This is payback. This is coming back on me. This is bad karma, baby. You know, you think it's just I deserved it, you know? God's paying me back for what I've done. I love that Jesus doesn't go, the devil, it's the devil. This sickness is the devil. He doesn't go, yeah, Lazarus was a bad boy last week, right? And he's been a bad boy a lot, right? And therefore he is very sick. I know Christians who think like that. Yeah? I know Christians who think like that. What does Jesus say? Well, he doesn't say, I've done it. But he says, you know what? He refocuses their attention. He says, look, guys, this has happened for the glory of God. That the glory of God might be revealed. That the Son of God might be glorified in the midst of this. I'm like, whoa, that's deep, God. That is deep. This hasn't happened. I don't know what you think about your situation, but God wants to give you a new perspective. I find this about Jesus in that. He's really clever. He says this won't end in death. He didn't say he's not going to die. If Jesus gave you a word about someone said, it's not going to end in this, you'd think it's not going to happen, right? He said to them, it's not going to end in death. Therefore, they were probably all thinking, he's not going to die. He's going to get better. This is going to be all right. No, he just said cleverly, this will not end in death. He says, the death is not the end of the story. Oh, so when he died, they will be like, whoa, gosh, he's dead. I thought you said he wasn't going to end in death. She's like, he's clever, right? He says, it's not going to end in death. It's like sometimes in our lives, we've ended the story too early. We've closed the book before the final chapter. We've stepped out of the movie halfway through the third act. You know where it all goes wrong just before the end? Most movies, don't they? They get halfway through the final act of the film, and it all goes wrong. You know, I once bought a DVD set of 24. Do you remember 24 with Kiefer Sutherland, right? And I got a DVD set of the first series. I watched the first 18 episodes. And then never watch the rest. I don't know. Maybe it all went wrong. Maybe he did die. Maybe the family it all went horribly wrong for them. Some of you, you know, maybe you watched the Matrix movie. You remember the Matrix, right? With all that stuff really slow. Remember that move? Anyway, so bullet time. Thank you. Now, you know, it's like getting to the point in the movie where he's like, I am the one, I am the one, right? And he opens the door and the guy comes out and goes, bang, 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 bang. Oh, he's dead. And you're like, wow, what a load of rubbish this film is. Turn it off. He's dead. He's failed. You didn't stop for the rest of the film where actually he goes, da-da, I'm not dead, and saves the day. There's a story in your life where sometimes you've closed the chapter, you've turned off the DVD, you haven't watched the rest of the chapter. You think, well, that's it then. That's it. That thing is over. That story is finished. This thing can't turn around. My life is, it's almost like coming to a pause and a stop because of stuff in my life, and I'm just stuck. And I'm just stuck here. But Jesus wants to give you a new perspective and a new hope on your own circumstances and your own life. There's another scene. There's another chapter. There's something supernatural that's about to happen in your world. We're not to always be on the back foot, thinking we're under attack. God wants to open our eyes to see the supernatural possibilities in what we're facing. We're not to be adrift, hoping God intervenes, but our lives are wrapped up, get this, in the potential for the glory of God to be revealed, so that none of our stories end in death, so that none of our stories end in the, it all went wrong. That none of our stories end in, I was just addicted. But actually, there's another chapter for your life that God wants to write. This is not the time to close the book. There's a few things we say, and I know I've not got long, I'm not even going to do the whole thing. How many of you know that I always write too many notes? I've just discovered this about myself. And I practice and I go through it and I go through it before I come on a Sunday morning, preach it out, and I go, bang, half an hour, done. And then I get to doing it and I look at my time and I'm like, well, that's wrong. But hey, you just get what God wants you to have, right, in the next few minutes. But in this story, there's a few things that we might sometimes say that, I kind of generalize some of the things that we might think about our lives when we're thinking about God moving or thinking about what we need to happen. And the first thing I've put out is this question. If God loves me, where is my miracle? If God loves me, you say God's love and God loves me. If God loves me, where's my miracle? In verse 5 and 6, it says, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. I'm like, Jesus, that seems like the worst pastoral care ever. Isn't it? It's like, hey, Jesus, hey, our friend's really sick. What did he do? What did he actually do? How did he go? No, okay. It's not, he made, there's a promise. I'm stopping where I am. You know, if I got a phone call from one of you guys in the church and saying, Dave, I'm really ill, right? I really need your help. I need your help. And I'll say, okay, I'll check my diary and I'll get back to you. You know? Click. I'll just say, you'll get better. Do you know, like Jesus, you'll be all right. Click. I wouldn't go down that well, would it? You know, he didn't even explain. Don't worry, guys. Right, what I'm going to do, it's not going to end in death, right? But what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay here 2 days, right? And then we're going to go over here. And then we'll come. He'll already be dead, right? But don't worry, right? Because I'll do a miracle. There we go. He doesn't explain it all. He doesn't bother explaining to them everything that's about to happen. And we want to know, don't we? We want to know, God, how's it all going to work out? And he doesn't tell us. It's frustrating. Jesus, gosh, you're frustrating. It doesn't seem very loving to do nothing for 2 days, Jesus. I thought you were a God of love. It doesn't seem, but he didn't even know. We read the story and we know it's 2 days because we read it was 2 days. But when you're in the middle of something and you don't know how many days until Jesus is going to turn things around or things are going to change, you're just there thinking, well, Jesus, do you really love me? Jesus, what is this? And sometimes it seems like God's not doing anything, even though you've prayed. You've put prayers out there. You've prayed about it. You've sought God about it. But it seems like there's a pause button on the miracle. And you think, Jesus, do you let me? I think this is incredible. Jesus, let him die. gives me a headache thinking about that. Jesus let him die. Jesus took them to a place where it was like, it was almost like their hope had been dashed. And sometimes, maybe your experience is this. You've got a bit of hope. You say, oh, it's going to be all right. It might work out. This might change. Or it might turn around. I've got some hope. And you keep moving forwards and you think, well, I've just passed that line of hope. I'm into like spare hope, you know? Just me spare. I've got me spare hope out. Okay. And you kind of go even beyond that. And these guys got through all levels of hope to the point where it's like, well, there's nothing more that God can do. Do you love me? But it wasn't too late for the glory of God to be revealed. I want to say over your lives, it's not too late. It is not too late. You might think, I've had such a bad stuff happen. I've just had such a terrible time. This year has been awful. You know, maybe just one or two people have just said, I've had an awful year. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be changed. I want to say over all of our lives, it is not too late for the glory of God. It's not too late for God to do something. It's not too late. Something you don't even know what God's going to do. But it is not too late for God to turn you around, for God to turn your situation around, God to turn things around. It's not too late for you. They were his best friends. How many here are Jesus' best friends? They were his best friends outside of the 12 disciples. But I want to say his love for them was absolutely intact, even though the miracle was delayed, because the delay led to something even greater. An even greater proof and demonstration of his love in action for the sake of not just them, but for the sake of the whole community. I think it would be incredible if we could look at our lives and think, gosh, you know what? It's not too late for God to do something that's even better than if God had done something just back there when we thought, well, now I need you, God. But actually, maybe there's something greater that God wants to do, a greater demonstration of his love that's not just about your life, but about what it's going to communicate to the world around, where you say, God, you know, you got a story developing that says, hey, do you know what God does? Do you know what the grace of God can do? Do you know how God can actually turn things around? How God can take you through all that stuff and bring you out the other side? I think for Mark Stevens, you know, it would have been nice not to have been a drug addict. It would have been nice, wouldn't it, to not be there? But what an incredible testimony of the grace of God that he has now got to say, hey, you know what? God can set you free from that stuff. I think, you know what? No matter where you're at and you're in the chapters of your life, that there's still time and space and possibility for the glory of God to be revealed and for Jesus Christ to do something for you. Some people say, if God's real, this wouldn't have even happened. Martha said to Jesus in verse 21, if only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you're real, they wouldn't have died. Some of us have written off God because something bad happened. If God's real, I wouldn't have lost my job. If God's real, that person wouldn't have died. I've known that when people come to me and say, it's a valid thought. It's a valid thought. It's a valid question. If God's real, my life would be how I want it to be. I've realized life's complicated. I've realized life is complicated. And I can't add everything up and make sense of every little thing that happens in my life as it happens. There's people in my life that have died and I thought, well, why on earth? What was the timing of that about? Things I don't understand, but sometimes things that only make sense in hindsight when I see people who've gone through grief and painful times, and I only see, well, gosh, look at them now. Look at that changed life. Look at how they dealt with that. Look at how that speaks of the grace and the comfort of God. But just because even sometimes terrible things happen, it doesn't mean God isn't real. And sometimes it means for us that we need a new perspective or maybe a change of priorities. Maybe God wants to resurrect some things in your life. Maybe some things need to stay dead. But I know that God can resurrect the hope in a human heart. I know he can turn around a relationship. I know he can mend families. I've seen it for myself with Lisa's family, where they were, my wife Lisa, who's preaching over in Preston today, if you're wondering where she is. But she, when she was growing up, her family just broke up all over the place. She was, when my wife became a Christian, full on following Jesus, she was told never to come and visit her mum. Don't even come round. At mine and Lisa's wedding, we had one parent there between us, not because they were all dead, but because the family was so broken up that they wouldn't even be there. But I've seen how God turns that around. Lisa's mom passed away a couple of years ago, but by the time that she did, the relationship was so restored. Lisa has a restored relationship with her dad, and families mended and fixed up. I've seen that God can do it. Don't think it's hopeless. Don't think it's just dead. Jesus Christ is the greatest master of comeback and resurrection there ever was. He literally came back from the dead. And there's Psalm 57 verse 10 says, your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. My prayer for you guys is that somehow you get a new perspective. Is it somehow you'd see and understand this? That God's unfailing love is as high as the heavens. That his faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I think sometimes we've got to realize that our lives have God at the center. Should have God at the center. I want my life to orbit around God. You know, I want to be in awe. God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with my family? What do you want to do with my church? What do you want to do with my city? God, I want to follow you. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I don't want Jesus to be a follower of Dave, right? That's not the way around. I don't want to just think, God, what do I want? Come and follow. Come and fulfill what I want. Come and work it out the way I want. When my life orbits around Jesus and when my life is in line, hey, I'm following you. I find that he leads me through all the stuff, leads me through the darker days, leads me through the hopeless moments, leads me through the questions and out the other side. Out the other side. If God did it for them, what about me? Verse 37, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Have you ever been jealous of someone else's miracle? Have you ever been jealous of someone else's breakthrough? Me and Lisa were married 13 years, right, before we had Emma, our first child. 13 years. Now, it's quite a long time. You know, you get the embarrassing questions. And, so Dave, when are you going to have kids? Think about it. We married a long time, right? There's probably something. We're not just in a career path, you know. I'm on the career path of pastorship, right? And until I'm leading Hope City, Liverpool, we shall not have children, you know? Lisa is very committed to the ministry. Got a lot of pastoring to do. So we put off having kids. I know sometimes I just wanted to say that, don't you? You know, people ask you questions, you're like, are you an idiot, right? Think before you speak. Maybe that's a word for somebody here today. Charles. But I remember, you know, people married afterwards are younger than us and they're having their kids. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. You know, you've got to be grateful. You've got to be thankful. That's brilliant. It's brilliant. But part of you going, God, well, what about us? I go, what about me? You did it for them, what about me? You know? But hey, we've got a beautiful 3-year-old little girl right now. But sometimes you're jealous of. Sometimes you believe other people are stopping your progress. You're jealous of someone else's breakthrough, someone else raised up. We heard a little bit about it at Fabulous. I've known people who so thought they should be leaders. I'm so jealous of someone else's stuff that they go and I'll start my own church. Start your own church. Join one. Be part of one. Help build something. Sometimes you wonder, but here's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. It says, he comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort others. When they're troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Sometimes with, why don't you do it for me? Why didn't you do it for me? But maybe there's an even stronger story of grace. God, you comfort me in my troubles so that I can comfort somebody else. Maybe you have got troubles, and maybe you need comfort. Maybe that's what you actually need from God right now. Maybe you need some comfort. Maybe some of you are going to get a miracle turnaround. But maybe for some of us, the supernatural thing is this, that the Spirit of God will come into your life in a fresh way to bring comfort. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the comforter and the helper. And some of us, maybe there's another chapter to write. But before you get to the final words, there are some words of comfort that you need to hear. Supernatural into your heart. And says, hey, come on. I do love you. I do care. This story will not end at this point where you think it's over, where you think it's done, where you can't see the end, because you have not read the rest of your story. But there's probably biblical precedent for believing that God's got something written already. He knows the story. He has watched the DVD of your life to the end. He is not getting to hour 18 of 24 and say, oh, can't be bothered with the rest of that. I don't care what happens next, to be fair. He cares what happens next. In fact, he's ordained good things for you. He's a producer, director, writer, makeup artist, I don't know, costume maker, key grip, best boy. What does a best boy do in a film? What does a best boy do? I'm the best boy. You know, I don't know. What does that? I don't know if you've ever watched credits. Obviously, nobody has. Anyway, so come on, let's pray right now. I'm going to finish there. I've got like another 3 hours of notes in there. 3 good hours. But that'll do. Some of you are like, I only came for a dedication. Shut up. Here we go, right? Let's pray. I'd love you to stand with us because we've been sitting for a while. Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? The rest of the band can come up. We're going to praise God in a moment. And if you're able and if you understand, why don't you lift your hands to Jesus Christ? Why don't you lift your hands to God? We sometimes do it as a sign of surrender, a sign of worship, a sign of saying, hey, Jesus, I just surrender to you in this moment and what you want. Maybe you have got questions. I just want you to know that his faithfulness reaches to the sky. You think, God, where are you? Are you faithful? Sometimes the only way to prove his faithfulness is that you say, God, you are faithful. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust you. That the rest of this story is going to work out. We might go through some bumps in the road along the way, but Jesus, somewhere along the line, I know I'm going to trust. You're going to turn things around. And even now in your heart, I want to pray for you if you need just a resurrection of hope, a resurrection of faith, a resurrection of possibility, just the possibility. Because I know not everything can change about all your situations just in this moment. You don't know because you're here in church. You don't know if things have changed or things are changing around you. But what can change is comfort in your heart, is hope in your heart, is faith that, God, you're going to do something. If you today, right, and maybe just keep your hands lower, right, but if you today are saying, you know what, I need a resurrection of hope. I need a resurrection of faith in my own heart right now. I need to just know there's another chapter. There's more to this story. If you say, Dave, I've been thinking maybe that's the end of the DVD. That is the end of the story. But God, I need hope right now in that situation. Why don't you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand so I can see. If you got some stuff going on, some situations, there are hands going up across this room. I don't mind if you come to this church or don't come to this church. But you're saying, Dave, just include me in a prayer. about some stuff, you can lift your hand right now, and I'm going to pray with you. That is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. There are many hands up right now. Father God, I want to pray for every single person who has their hand raised. Jesus, will you supernaturally, right now, bring your comfort. Jesus, those who feel brokenhearted, in despair about a situation, God, will you bring your comfort? Not saying never mind, never mind, but saying this is not the end of the story of your life. This is not the end of the story of your circumstances. This is not the end of the story of your family. This is not the end of your story of possibility. This is not the end of all your potentials dashed to the ground. There is more that I want to do. There is a turnaround. It's not over because you've lost something. It's not the end of your story. There is a resurrection. There's a chance of coming out of your grief. There is hope for you. There is another chapter yet to be played. Father, I pray right now, God, I want to pray for you if you need a miracle today. We're not going to hype it up. If you need a supernatural miracle, maybe you do, you relate to Mark Stephen's story, and it might not be heroin, right? But there's something you feel, I feel like I'm addicted to that. Maybe a substance. This might be a thing, something you look at, something you bring into your life, somewhere you can't help going, something you can't help doing. You feel like, God, I've tried, or maybe you haven't tried, and this will be your first try. Well, I always think if you're going to do a first try, your first try may as well be Jesus, because he's the one who can really do it. So if you need a supernatural miracle, and or if you need a healing right now, you say, I need some healing in my body. I really do need something supernatural to happen. Why, one of those areas, why don't you lift your hand? I'm going to pray for you. Lift your hand right now if you're saying, gosh, I need something supernatural in my life, in my heart. Thank you. This hand's up. Father God. Now, we don't know if this is the first category or the second category. You don't know if someone's saying, gosh, I need something sorted out in my life. Maybe there's an addiction or something, a habit, a thing that I want to break. Or maybe there's a sickness. You don't know right now why the people's hands are up. But I want you, where you are right now, to turn around 30 seconds, right? If you're a believer, if you think, oh, God, I want to see you do something, why don't you turn around? Just put your hand on person of somebody whose hand is up, okay? Have a look around. See who's around. See who's got their hands up. And I just want you to pray right now. You pray. I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray for them together. Father, right now, God, Lord, I pray for a supernatural thing to happen, Lord God, in the life of every person whose hand is raised today, Lord God. Father, we join together as your church, Lord. Father God, to pray for miracles of healing. God, where there is sickness, God, we pray for healing. Where there's a miracle need, God, we pray that there will be a turnaround. Father, where there are addictions, Lord God, where there's things that need to be broken in people's lives, Lord God. Father, we pray, God, Lord, let it be broken. Let there be something supernatural, beyond the natural, happen. Lord God, right now we pray, Lord God, let things turn around. Let hope rise up, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.